we haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Matt McGee. I get to serve as the lead pastor here, and it's one of my greatest privileges is to be able to open up God's Word with you. So if you had your Bible open, go ahead and keep it open there to Mark chapter 10. This month, in the month of May, our sermon series is Acorns to Oaks, talking about the worshiping family. And so I'll try to be a good tour guide and remind you of some of the places we've been, some of the places that we've stopped at. We spent our first couple weeks in this series looking at Psalm 78, really asking the Lord to expand our hearts with His vision for the worshiping family. Like, our aim is not merely to raise well-behaved children, but instead to hand the next generation a compass. Not a roadmap with specific turn-by-turn directions for everything they could experience in life. We couldn't do that. And so what we want to do is we want to hand them a multi-generational compass that points them always to true north, which is God through His Word. We want to give them a living testimony, as Psalm 78 says, of the glorious deeds of the Lord. Why? So that they might set their hope on Him. Set their hope in God. Last week we saw in a very full service, what a wonderful service it was last week, that corporate worship or gathered worship is not something that happens over the heads of the children in this room while they wait for an explanation later, if even at all sometimes. This environment, corporate worship, gathered worship, is one of the places that God has ordained where children learn over time to behold the glory of God with the rest of the church family. But if we're honest, that's where many of us feel tension. Many of us feel tension at this point. We say we love children. We do. I know that. I know you do. We say we want our children to know the Lord. We say we want to pass the faith to the next generation. But when it comes to the environment of our gathered worship, corporate worship, if we're not careful, and I think this happens as much unintentionally as anything, if we're not careful, we can start to act as though the real ministry happens above 2, 3, 4 feet high with the adults in the room. That's where the real ministry is happening. And the kids are really just an interruption to manage, or a potential interruption to keep in check. Now, kids, if you heard that last statement, I'm saying that's what we can sometimes think, but that's not true. I want to be clear that you hear that part. And so what's so striking in Mark chapter 10 is Jesus confronts this exact instinct in His own disciples. And so really the burden of this passage, of these verses Jeff just read for us in a sentence, and I'm not going to put this on the screen, but we'll work our way through it this morning, is since Jesus welcomes childlike worshipers, we must become and welcome childlike worshipers at church and in our homes. So here's the principle this morning. God's kingdom is for childlike hearts. God's kingdom is for childlike hearts. Why? Jesus loves childlike hearts. Now, I want to capture all the kids in the room for just a minute. Can you guys just repeat this phrase with me, after me? Jesus loves childlike hearts. Will you say that with me? Jesus loves childlike hearts. Say that again. Jesus loves childlike hearts. Now add the adults in the room. Jesus loves childlike hearts. And if you're one of our younger ones, one of the childlike ones in the room, one of the kids in the room, I want to ask you to listen today for that word. Listen for throughout the whole service, the whole sermon, for that word childlike. And whatever you're doing, if you're drawing a picture, maybe you could draw a picture of what you think it means to be childlike. But every time you hear me say the word childlike, I want you to give me a thumbs up. Or your parents or grandparents, okay? Be like, I heard it. I heard the key word for today. What Jesus is teaching us is that the kingdom of God belongs to those who come to him with childlike hearts. Humble, needy, trusting. And so therefore, he welcomes little children as true heirs and models of the kingdom. In verse 13, he says, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. They were bringing, that tense is telling us, there's this ongoing activity, a continuous flow of people bringing their children. The word there is paideia, which is little children, small ones, those little ones who are dependent. And it means, it's telling us, the Lord is telling us here that the instinct of these parents is right. In that day, they would have often brought their children to a prophet to be blessed. And so that's what they were doing as they saw Jesus. They want their children near Jesus. They want his touch. They want his blessing. They want their little ones to experience his presence. And this is no small thing, right? Think of it as the beginning of wisdom for a parent. For a parent to say something like, more than I need a perfect plan for my child, more than I need a polished future for my child, more than I need certain goals and attainments that you might dream up for your children, good though they may be, what I need is for my children to be near Jesus. To be able to hear Jesus. Thankfully, God has given us his word, the living word of God, that we can hear Jesus, read Jesus in his word. But Jesus doesn't stop with the fact that they may come, that children may come. He goes further in verse 14. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such, your translation might say, to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. Jesus loves childlike hearts. Jesus loves childlike hearts. Great job, guys. And then he intensifies it. The adults are alive. Thank you. And then he intensifies it in verse 15. He says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That is a strong statement. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So what does it mean to be childlike? Well, childlike does not mean childish. I was putting my cup down, but I saw all those thumbs up. Keep it going. It's good. Don't tire out on me. Childlike doesn't mean childish. Like Jesus is not calling us to immaturity or foolishness or doctrinal confusion or apathy or self-centered impulsiveness. That's not why he would use this thought, this phrase. Scripture calls us to grow up into Christ, to grow up into maturity in Christ. So he's not telling anyone to become silly or unstable or irresponsible, anything like that. No, childlike means at least three things. Okay, it means humble. If you think about children in the ancient world, they had no standing to leverage. They had no resume to present, no presence to bring. They had no claim on greatness. A childlike heart doesn't stride confidently or in a pompous way into the presence of God with a list of accomplishments. No, a childlike heart comes low. There we go. Hey, we got the adults in on the action too. This side's kind of like weakening out over here. We gotta keep this thing balanced. A childlike heart says, I am small. God is great. I am not above him. I need him to teach me. So childlike means humble, and it means needy. Childlike means needy. Right? A healthy child instinctively knows, I need help. I need help. They just assume it. I need provision. I need protection. I need someone stronger than me. Someone wiser than me to help me navigate each and every day. It's the opposite of sometimes our self-sufficient adult posture that says, I got this. I can manage. I can control this. I can make it work. I don't need the help of other people. I'm just independent. I just handle it on my own. Well, that's the opposite of a childlike heart. A childlike heart is honest about your need. Think about it. A child receives. Children reach upward to be picked up, to be carried. They lean into the care of another person. And a childlike heart leans into the care of God, coming to the Lord and saying, I trust your word. I trust your wisdom. I trust your care. I don't come bargaining. I don't come boasting. I come receiving. God's kingdom is for childlike hearts, humble, needing, and trusting people. And what it means for us is that children are not on the fringes of kingdom life. They are not on the fringes of church life. They are living reminders of the posture every disciple of Jesus must have. Even as we grow up in maturity in Christ, the only way to grow up into maturity in Christ is with a childlike posture. And a childlike posture can be confident, strong, knowledgeable about doctrine, growing up into Christ, never getting tired of hearing the gospel message, not only not ever getting tired of it, but always being affected with the reality, the truth of the gospel. Now here's the problem. We do not like being childlike and needy. I'm seeing those thumbs up still. Good job. We don't like being childlike and needy, right? Our sinful hearts and our church cultures often resist childlike faith by treating children and childlike dependence that mirrors them as interruptions into real ministry, right? Real ministry. And we see that borne out in idols like control, comfort, and image, instead of the heart of Christ. At the end of verse 13, Mark tells us that the disciples rebuked parents who were bringing their children to Jesus. They rebuked the very ones who were bringing their children to Jesus. They saw it as a distraction. Now, we have to be careful not to be too hard on the disciples, right? Jesus is a busy guy. He's got a lot of people coming to him. He's doing a lot of real ministry work. And so to kind of give the best intention or benefit of the doubt to the disciples, even though they were wrong, they weren't trying to be harmful. They were trying to protect the Lord, right? He's just busy. He's got lots of people to bless, lots of people to touch, lots of people to teach. And so they were trying to be gatekeepers. Now, they missed the mark because in verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He was indignant. This is a strong word. He was not just mildly annoyed. Jesus was righteously displeased. He was angered that the disciples were acting like these gatekeepers I just talked about, keeping little ones at arm's length from his blessings. And we need to let this search us. Let the Lord search us as we think about this, Oak Grove Church. It's easy, like I said, to say, well, how dare they do that? But do we often do the same thing sometimes in respectable ways? We do it when we act as though our gathered worship is basically for the adults and the kids are just trying to keep the kids where they just don't bother anyone until they're old enough to understand. I mean, it's not like you bring ratchet straps and you strap them to the chair so they can't move. I mean, you're not cruel and unkind. But does our behavior, do our actions communicate, this is not, you have to perform here? Now listen, I'm not against, and I don't think we should, not ever focus on, is the wrong way of saying that sentence, teaching children to learn as they grow up older, to learn how to sit and listen through something. It's not too much to expect children to grow up and learn to sit through a service and different things like that. What we acknowledge is it takes time, and it takes training, and it just takes telling. Time, training, and telling. If they don't know what they're supposed to do, they're not going to do it. Sometimes when they know what they're supposed to do, they're still not going to do it, right? We understand that. And so we're not looking across the room judging each other for how this is going for a certain family, because we've all been there, right, in one way or another. And if you haven't, then you were that kid. What we really want to do is say, how can we help our kids come to Jesus? Not how can I preserve my own comfort? How can I preserve how people see me? How people perceive my parenting skills right now? Rather than trying to have them be quiet and polished and undisruptive, we would have them present and learning and growing. But there's another way that we resist what Jesus is telling us, and that's by failing to be childlike ourselves. Failing to be childlike ourselves, because if we're honest, many of us don't like being dependent. We live in ways that would communicate, oh, I'm the one that's keeping my heart beating, though we wouldn't say it. I'm the one that's keeping my mortgage coming in. I'm the one that's keeping my job intact. I'm the one who's making the money and the provision. Well, these things are true, but only with the gift and the strength, the beating heart, the functioning lungs that God has given you. Only with the wisdom and talent and skills God has enabled you to learn. We are dependent in far more ways than we care to acknowledge. We like control, predictability, a polished outward appearance, and being thought of by others as capable. But it's the opposite, the antithesis of childlike faith. It's a grown-up, self-reliant, dressed up in religious clothing. Right? A controlling heart says something like, I need everything to go according to my plan. A performing heart says, I need everyone to see that I've got it together. And a self-sufficient heart says, I don't need help. If an older empty nester individual or couple came to sit near you during church, just to build a relationship and say, hey, I'm here to help if there's anything you need. You know, your posture, parents, should not be to say, no, I need to show them that I don't need their help. No. Thank you. I need you. Because sometimes I'm not able to catch all the sermon because I'm parenting. And parents, that's okay. There's more happening here. This isn't a lecture. It's a sermon. It's God's word proclaimed and preached, and you're going to miss it. Imagine if you were in the first century listening to Jesus preach and you had your children with you. You'd be locked in, but maybe have a kid pulling on proverbial pant leg. And so you might miss some things. This is okay. The beautiful part is that as we come to Jesus with a childlike heart, we say, Lord, I need you. I can't save myself. Lord, you are strong when I am weak. We just sang that not too long ago. Well, he's always strong. We're always weak. Lord, I can't sanctify myself. I can't change my children's hearts. It is not your job to get them saved. You can't. What you can do is, by God's grace, paint a picture of what honest, open relationship before the Lord looks like. And when they sin, first of all, call it sin, not mistakes. A mistake is if you try to answer a question on a math test and you've studied and you try and you get it wrong. That's not, it's wrong, it's incorrect, it's not a sin necessarily. But when they fail to listen to your wisdom as parents, and they do their own thing anyway, or when you are holding their hand and you say, don't pull away from mom while I'm holding your hand, and they pull away anyway, and they slip or they trip and they fall and they bonk their head and they get hurt. That's a natural consequence as a result of their sin for failing to honor you as their parent. Don't teach them that it was just a mistake. Oops, oopsies. That was a mistake. Sin needs to be carried before God. And we get to carry sin before God with a childlike heart that says, Lord, I cannot heal myself. I can't change my children's hearts. I can't carry the weight of the outcomes. I need your mercy. Some of you parents with adult children need to hear this now. You can't save your children. You can pray for them. You cannot nag them into the faith. You cannot nag your adult children into the faith. What you can do is go before the Lord with a childlike heart and ask the Lord to give your adult children childlike faith. You don't have to manage outcomes. In fact, you can't. See, some of you are anxious perpetually. Maybe in part because you're trying to manage or control things that are not yours to manage. Remember what I said earlier in the sermon, a childlike heart comes before the Lord and says, I need you. Lord, as a dad with adult children, with grandchildren, I need you. They need you. The same kind of resistance that lived in the disciples is the same kind of resistance that lives in us. Here's where the gospel meets us. Here's where Jesus meets us. Jesus welcomes and embraces childlike sinners. He welcomes and embraces childlike sinners. How? What does he do? Well, he exposes our pride and our control. And the same one who does that gladly receives us when we acknowledge it before him. Oh, you're right, Lord. I'm proud. I'm controlling. The list could go on. And I'm wrong. You don't need me. I need you. I repent. Repentance, friends, is beautiful worship, wonderful worship. Teach your children young. While they're little. As the Lord develops your childlike heart, help that transfer over to your children to have a childlike heart in repentance before the Lord. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Notice Jesus isn't like, okay, fine, let them through. He's not putting up with them. He's not tolerating them. He's not rolling his eyes. Verse 16 tells us, he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Right? I mean, that's Jesus, the King of the kingdom of God. He's not just permitting them. He's welcoming them. He's receiving them and he blesses them. That's not only his heart toward children. That's his heart toward each one who comes to him with a childlike heart. The very one, as Mark is taking us toward the cross, the very one who takes children into his arms is the same one who would outstretch his arms at Calvary. The same Jesus who blesses little ones here is the one who will bear the curse for the proud, the controlling, the self-sufficient sinners like you and me, and yes, your children. He will pay the full penalty. Let me rephrase. He has paid the full penalty for our guilt, our true guilt, our hypocrisy, our image management, our harsh language, indifference. He's taken that all upon himself. And he rose again, demonstrating that he has disarmed the powers of death. We need to hear this. I was going to say you need to hear this. I need to hear this. Jesus does not welcome you because you got your act together. Church, let's not communicate that that's how Jesus works to a watching world. Well, if you stop behaving like this, if you stop loving this kind of person, if you stop acting in this way, well, then Jesus will. No. No, what do? You come to Jesus and you repent of a life of lordship over your own heart. You need to flick the king off of the throne of your heart, repent, and say, Jesus, I am trusting in myself for my salvation, for my works, for my standing before God, and I do it no longer. I repent. I turn away from my self-righteousness to trust you. Would you give me a childlike heart? Would you enable me to follow you? Bring me from death to life. Make me wholly yours. That's the grace of God, the mercy of the Lord. So how do we respond with this today? Well, let's become and welcome childlike worshipers. Let's become and welcome childlike worshipers, right? In light of Jesus' embrace, we need to repent of hindering childlike faith. Let me ask you, Is there a time, is there a place where you've hindered childlike faith, either by just trying to get your kids to be quiet during the church service, giving them something to distract them? Or have you been one that's maybe not been intentional, or maybe you have, with your facial expressions as a kid has gotten a little louder in the room? We say that we love the noise of children in the worship service here. But we say that from the front. Do you say that with your face? Sometimes I've joked with people, you know, we just sang, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Or did you sing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm happy in Jesus." You need to tell your face. Because you don't look happy in Jesus. And all I'm getting at with a little bit of levity here is sometimes we can look across the room at noise that's happening. We might not be thinking, "Oh, I wish they'd get their act together." In fact, I know most of you pretty well, and I think you're not thinking that. You might not be communicating that. So a look across the room or in front of you or behind you with a smile communicates a lot. Communicates love. Communicates we're family. Communicates we're in this together. So parents, as we think through this together, I'm going to address parents and two other groups here in just a moment. But what I want you to really cling on to is that I don't want you to hear that this is that your job is to create a perfect worship experience for your children. That's not the goal. It's not the goal. When we're in glory, we will have a perfect worship experience. Until then, it's fraught with interruptions and the sin of our own hearts and confusion and well-meaning attempts that often fall short, much like the disciples. What I want you to hear, though, is, more importantly, I think what we see from the passage, is that we want you to bring your children into the worship service imperfectly. Bring them consistently. Parents, can I just ask you, don't teach your children that we go to church when we don't have all the other activities. We go to corporate worship when our schedule permits. Would you teach your children we prioritize the worship of God's people together? Not proudly, not legalistically, but as a genuine priority. Because you will teach them through your patterns. Bring them prayerfully and bring them expectantly. Like they're not going to catch everything, and that's fine. But I will tell you what, the childlike ones in this room are still giving thumbs up. 34 minutes. I should have told you that. Into this sermon, they're still giving thumbs up. You know what that means? It means they're drawing and they're writing notes and they hear a key word. They're hearing it. Bring them not just to behave, but to behold the glory of God through His gathered people. Let them see other people with arms stretched high as we worship. Or some who may not raise your hands like that, or arms held out, or whatever your posture is during worship, let them see God's people coming together because they are intent on and excited about and honored to magnify the name of Jesus together. You get to be a tour guide. It means that you get to whisper throughout the service, "Hey, listen for that word. Listen for that key word on this first slide." You're not going to catch the whole slide all the time. That's fine. And of course, all this depends on what ages your kids are and things like that. But listen to that word. What's the word, kids? Come on, kids, say it louder. That's exactly right. I knew you knew it. Say it again. Will you say it real loud one more time? Isn't that a sweet sound? Of little children who, with loud music playing and the worship team leading, could be singing, "This is the day you made. So I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That is not how that part of the song goes. But the first part was right. Hey guys, you hear what Pastor's saying here? Hey guys, listen, we're singing to the Lord right now. The worship team's leading us, but we're singing to the God who made the universe. This bread reminds us that Jesus gave his body to be broken for you, to be beaten and to be killed, to pay the penalty for your sin. That's how much Jesus loves you. This baptism shows us that Jesus washes sinners clean. You see, all throughout the service, I love it when I'm preaching and I see a parent lean over and whisper something to their children. Now, I have no idea what it is, so I'm assuming the best of you. But I love it because we have parents or grandparents engaged with children as we move through this time of worship together. Secondly, I want to address the church family. Church family, especially without those, without children in your home. This passage is for you. This passage is for you. Jesus commanded his disciples, not merely parents in the crowd. So the responsibility not to hinder children, those who have childlike hearts, from worshiping him is on us. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we need to play Boggle. You guys remember the game Boggle? Anybody? Yeah, maybe the older people in the room or my... Hey, you like Boggle? Love it. Someday you're going to bring it in and we're going to play Boggle in my office, okay? Is that okay? Okay. You're going to have to teach me how to play. But, because I use it as an illustration all the time, but I really don't know how it works. So, I know there's a thing you hit and all of the dice with the letters go and they fall somewhere else. We need to do that with our seating arrangement. Now, some of you are like, I'll go find another church before I find another seat. No. Some of you need to move to sit closer to families with little children. Say, I don't feel comfortable with that. Christian life is not about comfort. It's about humble service, about putting others before yourselves. To say, hey, I'm not here to help you be a better parent. I'm just here to be like two extra hands. And I'm not here because you're doing something wrong. Just here because we're family. So if I can help you in any way, I don't want to impose, but if I can help in any way, you just know that I'm here. And if I need to not hear part of the sermon so that you can hear part of the sermon, well, I'll go listen to it online. And thirdly, all of us. Like, we need to all receive the kingdom of God like little children. We need to receive the kingdom of God with childlike hearts. And some of us are deeply uncomfortable being childlike. We'd rather analyze than adore. How'd the service go today? I don't really like that song. Pastor Matt went long. First time that's ever happened, but I noticed it. You get to control the narrative up here a little bit. We'd rather manage than trust the Lord with what's happening. Or trust one another. And we'd rather perform than repent. We'd rather look strong than admit our need. But Jesus says very, very clearly, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child or like a child shall not enter it. I don't know, maybe the Lord is using the sermon to change how you view children. Maybe he's using this message to show you how allergic you are to dependence and interdependence, which is not the same as the world describes codependence. Interdependence is biblical and healthy. And so maybe he's inviting you today to come back to him with open arms. Like a child looking for his parent to pick them up. I don't want to stretch this too far. But like one who is a dependent one, not with a resume of all of your righteousness or your perception of your righteousness. Not with an excuse, not with control, but with trust. Childlike trust that says, I need you, Lord. Lord, forgive me. Thank you for paying the penalty for me. Lord, carry me through this season, through this trial. Lord, help me welcome what you welcome, who you welcome, and as you welcome. In the same kind of way that Jesus welcomes childlike worshipers into his kingdom, we need to become and welcome childlike worshipers in the gathered worship of Oak Grove Church.